Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free book of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Hello, everyone. I'm Jen, and tonight I am joined by Marima, Brittany, and Danielle. Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh, someone's sleepy.
No, I just couldn't clear my voice fast enough.
Oh, I'm like, who is sleepy? It's not that late. Anyway.
Yeah, I have tea. I'm good.
Oh, good. Yes. Gotta have the tea. So we're going to chat a little bit about New Year's, because New Year's is right around the corner. And for some of us, closer than others, Marima.
Yeah. It's today. Yay.
Woo. Woo. So we're going to chat about some things we're looking forward to in the new year, some things about 2014 that we loved and maybe didn't love, and, you know, all kinds of good stuff. But as always, we're going to kick off with what we've been reading. So Marima, you want to start?
Sure. I continue on my sort of binge of my annual binge of nonfiction and autobiography. I am reading, well, I just finished The Life and Loves of a He-Devil by Graham Norton. Who is Graham Norton, like, a, do you know who he is in America? Is that?
Yeah, he's a talk show guy for BBC America.
I didn't know if he's, like, syndicated over there. I love him. He's very funny. And this is his second autobiography. It's really cute. It's structured in, like, the passions of his life. So each chapter is focused around a different passion. Enjoying that a lot. I have also just read Marilyn and Me by Lawrence Schiller, which is very, very short, but very cute. I bought this when I was overseas. Lawrence Schiller was a photographer who formed this relationship with Marilyn Monroe, and it's about their friendship and has some of the photographs and things really interesting. And I am about halfway through The Bling Ring by Nancy Jo Sayles, which was the book that the film with Emma Watson a couple years ago was based on, about those crazy teenage kids who broke into all the celebrities' houses. The film was such a train wreck. That was probably the worst movie I've ever seen. But the book is really interesting, and I've been meaning to read it for a while, so I picked it up in a secondhand store the other day. And totally different track, but I'm also rereading The Sound and the Fury by Faulkner for a friend of mine talked me into trying it again, because I can't say I was the biggest fan when I read it many years ago. So, yeah, seems like a good time of year to do some of those things when you're not as rushed. And, yeah, that's all for me.
All right. That's pretty awesome. You've been very busy with the reading. How about you, Brittany? What have you been up to?
Well, I had the flu, so I didn't read that much
lately. Oh, no.
But I just picked up, and I am, like, devouring Alan Turing, The Enigma by Andrew Hodges, because I saw The Imitation Game on Christmas Day, and then I went out and bought it, and then I started reading it, and then I saw The Imitation Game again 2 days later. And then I saw it again tonight. So I'm, like, really obsessed with this. Right now I'm really in Alan Turing
fascinating.
Is it good?
Zone. Yeah, it's really interesting.
I've been meaning to pick it up for a while.
It's huge. It's, like, 730 pages with, like, notes and notes and notes at the end. But it's really, really interesting. And you don't get a lot that you don't get from the movie.
Right, but 700 pages of, like, dense history stuff, that's my jam, so I'm all over that.
It's really good.
Report back when you finish.
Oh, I will. And then I finally finished Grasshopper Jungle. I stopped halfway through so long ago, but just because I wasn't really liking it, and then I saw it again at the library, and I was like, I have to finish this. So I did, and it was okay. I mean, I didn't know that they were actually going to, like, be physically fighting the grasshoppers, but it was interesting. So I'm glad I can just cross it off the list, and it doesn't make me feel guilty every time I stare at that green cover.
Did you know they're making a movie of it?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Are we literally just going to talk about like, that, the dog pooping? Because, like, every time that was brought up, I was just like, please make it stop.
That's, like, the weirdest book I've ever read. I loved
so
it. It was
weird.
So weird, but so cool.
Yeah, I'm glad I finished it. I feel accomplished. But
yeah,
that's all I've been up to.
Very nice. And Danielle, what have you been reading?
Well, I started a Harry Potter book club at work, and so we're kind of making our way through the series. And right now we're on book 5, so I'm currently reading Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And I'm also reading She-Hulk. It's like a, I have like a trade paperback or whatever, a compilation of all of the comics by Dan Slott, and those are pretty good too. So.
Oh, I forgot. I read the Hawkeye comics by the Matt run. I read those this week.
Dunya finally got to you.
yeah. She weaseled away in. Some Inception was going on there.
Awesome. I think it's so fun that you started a Harry Potter book club at work. That's pretty awesome, Danielle.
I'm really excited about it. It's kind of like we're trying to remember what happened in the books versus the movies, and everybody's getting it wrong so far. So it's fun.
Well, it's good. It's good to reread then.
Yeah.
I've actually had some time to read, or I actually read like 3 books on Saturday. That was my Saturday. So I read something called After Hours by Claire Kennedy. It's it doesn't come out till this summer, and it's meant to be like this, like kind of beach read idea where these teens are working their summer away, like at a swanky restaurant, and there's this idea that there's a game that they play. It's like a dare game called Tips. It was okay. I wasn't really in love with it. It didn't feel as connected as it should. There's not a lot of character development, so. That one was okay. Then I read something called The Stars Never Rise by Rachel Vincent. That one's really interesting. It's kind of dystopian, but it's really unique in the fact that in America, the townships are now, the whole country is run by the church. And because the church is the only one that can save you from the demons. So the idea is that like demons kind of run around in hordes, kind of like zombie hordes. And they go around killing humans and, you know, sucking their souls, all that sort of thing. But the church is what's running and governing the America, basically. And the towns are called, like, New Temperance and Solace and stuff like that. And the church even has their own set of exorcists. Well, as the story develops, you find out that there's this girl who's kind of living a pretty rough life, and her mom's really not really good at being a mom, and she's just trying to get through so that she can, you know, be done with school and get a job and be able to pay for things and to live. And a demon attacks her, and she actually exorcises it, which isn't supposed to happen. So as you learn more about the story, it kind of unfolds as to what's really going on with the church and all the different people around, and she joins up with a group that are a bunch of teen rebels that are all actually exorcists. So it's really cool. It's a little complex. There are a couple things that are a little like about it, but overall I really like that book a lot. It was an interesting read. The other book I read was called The Conspiracy of Us by Maggie Hall. This one's another one that's really cool. It's kind of set in our time period, but it's about this group of 12 families that are spread throughout Europe and America, and about this one girl in particular who doesn't realize she's a part of the families until these boys show up at school to come and get her, and they're each from different families. And they're all related. All the families are related to Alexander the Great. So there's this really cool history element to it, and you travel throughout Europe on these, like, mini-adventures. I want to say it's like the Da Vinci Code, but not really. It has that kind of element of history in it, where things are connected and there's, like, little mini-conspiracies and stuff. Obviously, it's The Conspiracy of Us. But it's really cool. I actually really enjoyed it. And that comes out later in 2015. Actually, no, that one comes out earlier in 2015. That one comes out in, like, January. And then I read Denton Little's Death Date by Lance Rubin. This book is so funny. It's told from the perspective of a teenage boy, and in their time frame, there's a genetic test that everyone in America is made to take, and it tells you when your death date will be. So you know from the time you're born when exactly you'll die, and Denton Little happens to be one of only 3 students in his high school class that will not make it out of high school. He'll die when he's 17. So they have all these really weird traditions as your death date approaches, and you don't know how you'll die. And it's kind of just his take on everything that's going on with that. And then there are a couple of twists and turns along the way that you don't necessarily expect. So it was a really entertaining book, and I really liked it. So that's what I've been reading.
So many.
I've been trying to get caught up. I felt like I was slacking for a while. So I legitimately read like 3 in one day. So now, I mean, if you think about it, it just means I didn't do anything on Saturday but read.
That sounds wonderful.
That sounds like a great day.
It was so amazing. You guys, you have no idea. I didn't open my school books. I didn't do any work. I just read books all day long. It's kind of fantastic. Oh, and another book that I should probably mention is This Shattered World by Amy Coffin and Megan Spooner. It's the sequel to These Broken Stars, which we did for a book hype review book. It's a really cool book. It's a different set of characters, but it still links back up to These Broken Stars. And it's something I would highly suggest. And you guys know we talk about Audible all the time, and it's a great audiobook. I've actually been listening to it. So you should definitely check out This Shattered World by Amy Coffin and Megan Spooner from audible.com. And for a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Okay, so let's talk about our book bites. This book bite is really kind of interesting. It just popped up today on Twitter. And USA Today named their author of the year. And interestingly, they named John Green as their author of the year. And I think probably the most funny response to all of this was actually John Green's, where he was like, "Thanks, but I haven't written a book in 3 years." So... why would USA Today nominate an author who has not written a book in 3 years?
Because he's all over the place. This is why I'm not paying attention to any Paper Towns news, because it's an old book, but I don't want to be spoiled for the movie. Like, that's just my personal reason for ignoring it. But he's just in the news all the time because he's so popular.
Right, but he's not writing books. Exactly. How can he be author of the year if he hasn't written a book in 3? I am so confused.
Well... The Fault in Our Stars came out this year, and that's the entire reason why.
Yeah, but it's not... He didn't write it this year. I think that's my problem, is that because he's John Green, he's going to get all this recognition for movies. But he's not... Do you know what I mean? Like, it just bothers me, because there's so many other people out there that I think should have been recognized for various reasons. But let's give John Green another award!
I feel like you're giving USA Today too much credit for being prominent.
Yeah, it is USA Today. You know?
I know. I just expect more.
I think it's just the title that bothers me the most. Like, yes, all of these interesting things with his books have been happening this year, but to call him author of the year, I feel like that's misleading, and that's what I have the most problem with.
Yeah,
that was a great response there.
That was very, very nice and even keel, or I'm just like a rage monster. I'm like, no, it is not okay.
So, Brittany, you're banning all Paper Towns news?
Oh, yeah. I have not looked at any. It happened when they posted, the first or second day on set, he posted a photo of the Black Santas, and I got so mad, and I don't know why. I was just, like, overcome. I'm like, I don't want to know, because I feel like I was spoiled for The Fault in Our Stars when I finally saw it. All together, I was like, well, I've already seen this. Well, I've already seen what they look like. Well, I've already seen this. And I was just frustrated.
Because that was too much promotional material?
Yeah, it was just too much, like, with him as well. Like, I watched all the Vlogbrothers videos, but I haven't watched any that he's made while he's on set. So I've really only been watching Hank for, like, the past 4 months.
Oh, I see.
So I've, like, been skipping Tuesdays because I'm like, I, like, look at the thumbnail, and if he's sitting on set, I'm like, no, I'm not going to watch it. Like, I don't need to see Nat Wolff every week. Like, I'm watching for you.
So, is Paper Towns your favorite?
Oh, no.
Which is your favorite?
Actually, my favorite is the one he wrote with David Levithan, and Will Grayson, Will Grayson.
That's my favorite.
Yes.
It's my favorite, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, Paper Towns isn't my favorite, but I'd still like to see the movie without having seen the movie beforehand.
Right. That's a very good point.
That is. Unfortunately for us, it doesn't always work that way, given the line of work we're in.
Oh, I know. And I wrote an article about why I'm going into a John Green
blackout,
and Andrew was like, I'm working on an article that's putting together all the stuff he has released.
Yeah. About the movie. So don't look at my article.
He's like, so don't look at it.
Yeah. Interesting.
That is fantastic. All right. Well... So it's an interesting way to end 2014 with the USA Today naming of John Green as author of the year. But let's talk about some other things that happened in 2014. So we had a lot of adaptations this year. Do you guys have like a favorite or a least favorite? I know you all do, so just start spilling.
Mockingjay is the best. That is my favorite of all movies this year.
Oh, very nice.
I just had to get in quickly.
You liked what one?
I liked Gone Girl a lot.
Yes, I did a lot too.
Yeah, I loved that actually. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was so, the creeper level in that is so high. Oh, I loved it.
I still have to see it. There have been so many adaptations that I haven't been able to see.
Well, this year was so like, sad. There were so many this year, like they were never ending. But hey, that's not a bad thing necessarily.
No, so, not at all.
Did you have a favorite one that you've seen so far?
The only one that's popping into my head right now is Divergent. But I feel like I have to go back and rewatch it a little bit. Because I remember being excited was really about good. It.
It was.
I actually rewatched it on Christmas. It was on at like my cousin's house and we were all watching it in the kitchen. Like it was like 45 minutes later and we realized we hadn't said a word to each other because we were watching it.
I thought Divergent was like surprisingly good considering my general apathy towards that series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just looking at Theo James.
Well, it was.
Are you sure? That's exactly why I liked it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I have issues. It's okay.
It was a big part of it. And, like, I. Oh, my gosh. He is wonderful.
Yes, he is.
He's a wonderful human being.
Right. This is not a Theo James appreciation.
And now we're off task. Anyway. And just like that. So Divergent was good. I really liked If I Stay. I liked If I Stay for very, like, for certain reasons, and I didn't like it for other reasons, but in general, I thought it was a really well-done adaptation, given the material that they were working with and stuff, so I thought that was a really cool one. And then I liked the lead male. I thought he was really impressive. There were certain aspects, like when the grandfather is giving his speech, like those things were just so like perfect that it really sticks out in my mind. And that's not typically a movie I would just go and see. So I really like that aspect of it.
What about The Fault in Our Stars? Like I thought someone would jump all over that immediately.
I mean, again, we've talked.
Not you, Jen. I don't think you would say The Fault in Our Stars.
I can't imagine why. Anyway, Brittany, did you like The Fault in Our Stars?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I was glad I got to see it like a month and a half early because it was finally just over with at that point.
Yeah.
But in other adaptation news, I liked This Is Where I Leave You, which is the one with Tina Fey was in it and Jason Bateman.
Oh, yes. I really liked that one. I liked that one, too.
Yeah, I really liked that. It was, like, a surprising, because I wasn't sure after I read the book. I was like, but I think they did a good job with it.
I think so, too. I liked Adam Driver in that film. I thought he was really interesting. Something different from Girls for him, which was, you know, cool.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Has anyone seen Horns? Because that's not out here yet.
I've only seen what I saw at Comic-Con. Yeah. So I've seen, like, bits and pieces of it. Okay. Yeah, so I haven't seen the whole thing yet.
Yeah, I really want to see that.
Hit, like the weird theaters here, because I know.
I'm waiting for it to hit my country.
Aww.
Yeah, it's a sad life.
It's gonna be okay. So, was there an adaptation this year? Like, oh my god, why did they do that?
The Hobbit.
Oh well, you've been saying that a lot. I'm really not sure that.
You know, the funny thing about it is, I haven't even seen it yet. I refuse to go watch it.
You're like,
I'm just, like, protecting myself from the inevitable, like, heartache that will bring at how bad it is. That's really what's happening.
Yeah. The third one was okay. The first two are a waste of time.
I had a very long conversation with someone about it who is a big Tolkien fan like me, and they were like, the third one is the worst movie I've ever seen. And so it's not encouraging. I will go and see it, but, I mean, I love this book so much. Like, people have heard me talk about The Hobbit a lot on Book Hype. It's one of my favorite books. And so it's just, like, the knife right in my heart. That's what it is, watching these movies. Just twisting knife.
It's definitely the worst part of, like, the adaptation of it, but it's definitely the most entertaining.
Okay.
Except for,
all
like,
right.
A list.
I'll get there. Yeah, I think it might have to be one of my New Year's resolutions to actually go watch The Hobbit.
Yeah, just, I mean, like, it'll you know how, okay. like, the Battle of Five Armies is, like, one chapter? Well, it's, like, a 2.5-hour battle.
Yeah, so, that's kind of the issue.
It's fun. The rest of the book is just, like, you know, 15 minutes here, 10 minutes there. But you can do it.
It'll be okay. It'll all be all okay. So
actually, I just thought of the worst one this year, Vampire Academy.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
I did.
Oh, God, that was, like, hysterically terrible.
I don't know.
It was like...
They tried.
A Mean Girls parody, almost, but unintentionally. It was the worst.
I felt bad. I really wanted to like it a lot.
I didn't care.
Well...
It was funny.
Yeah. I don't know. I like those books. I don't know. They're just super fun. So it was kind of sad. But whatever. Alright. I'm trying to think of... I know that there have to be ones that I really... Oh, The Giver was not okay.
Okay.
That was terrible.
Yeah. Definitely not okay.
Ender's Game and Maze Runner, I think, are other two that were...
Oh, Maze Runner wasn't too bad. Ender's Game came out like Ender's Game was the year
was
before.
Was it last year?
Yeah, last November.
Oh my God.
I really liked Ender's Game actually, but
oh, wait, I know which one was terrible. Did you guys see Winter's Tale?
No.
Oh God,
I didn't even bother.
Don't do
on
it.
Purpose.
It's horrible.
That's what I kept hearing. Yeah.
No, don't no. I felt so bad. That book is gorgeous, but no, it was awful.
The most, like, interaction I think I had with the movie was listening to a podcast called How Did This Get Made? And they just tore it apart. And it was wonderful. Like, I love that podcast. If you like bad movies and, like, listening to people laugh at them, it's wonderful.
Well,
and they just ripped it a new one.
It just, it was so strange. Like, it didn't connect at all. Like, it was just bad. Like, it was uneven storytelling, and just, you didn't know where it was going, and you had no idea what the point was, so, yeah. Anyway. I'm trying to think
Danielle,
if there are
any did you
others.
Say The Maze Runner was one of your least favorite?
It's on my list of adaptations that I have yet to see, unfortunately, because I really wanted to see it.
It's
I just thought it was
really
worth mentioning.
It's actually pretty good.
I was like, The Maze
That's
Runner is
heard.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I actually quite liked it.
I think that would be one of the better ones.
Yeah.
Because it was a big improvement on the book for me. Like, people know I'm not a big fan of those books, but I thought the movie was really good. And not just for Dylan
That's
O'Brien, although,
although
that was a large
Karen.
Factor as well.
I think Karen would definitely say The Maze Runner. She was very stoked about that book, or about that movie, so
movie.
I think that would be Karen's choice. All right, how about books for 2014? What were some of your favorite books? This was way trickier.
That's a trick question. I can't decide. What did I choose for when we made the list?
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah. That was, like, my favorite book at the time when you asked me that question. So, not, like, of the year. But I did really enjoy Yes, Please. I really liked Isla, as people know. That was very good. We Were Liars. That was really good.
Yep.
Off the top of my head, I think I would go with those three. I'm sure there are many others that I've said, this is the best thing I've ever read, but I can't think of them now.
Yeah, I second Isla and We Were Liars. And I think that was the one time everyone on Book Hype was like, oh my God, it was so good. We all agreed.
Yeah.
It was a very rare, odd moment, never to happen again.
Oh, you know what? Neil Patrick Harris's autobiography as well. That was definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, I could definitely see that being, like, amazing.
It was hysterically funny.
I'm trying to think. It was really good.
Really, really good.
Yeah, I need to read more autobiographies, obviously. I don't really read them. It's, I don't know. I have to get on that.
Oh, well, I can help you out with that.
Yes.
I only read 25 or
something. Oh, is that all? Oh, you're slagging.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite books of the year was a book called Faking Normal. It's a contemporary. And it was really, really well written. It was by a debut author named Courtney Stevens. And it really touches on a lot of different things they're things that, like, happen to the kids that I work with. So when I read books like that, sometimes it's really hard for me to be like, oh, and get through it because it's not well written or it doesn't ring true. But this particular book was really, it felt really truthful. Like, it was, you know, it was something that could definitely happen, and the outcomes were very similar to things that I've seen before. So I really liked that book a lot. And it was surprising because it's contemporary, and those aren't always my favorite. So I really enjoyed that book.
Oh, I just thought of one. This was actually definitely one of my favorites. The Incredible Adventures of Cinnamon Girl by Melissa Kyle, who I've talked about before. She's an Australian author. And this was released in, like, September of this year. And it's about a girl who wants to be a comic book artist. And so there's lots of references to comic books. And, you know, she, like, lives in the country. And it sounds ridiculous when you explain that loud. But she, like, lives in the country with her best friend. And no. Wait for the ridiculous part. She lives in the country with her best friend and her family, like, single mother and everything. And then someone uploads a YouTube video saying, like, the end of the world is coming and the only place that's going to survive is, like, at these coordinates, and the coordinates happen to be at her town. And so they get flooded by all these crazy, like, doomsday people. And so that happens while they're, like, finishing school. And so she's, like, contemplating life and everything. It's really, really good. It's very funny. I love her. She's one of my favorite authors. And I know at least her first book is available overseas, and I'm sure this one has at least been picked up for distribution. So yeah, keep an eye on her.
That sounds wonderful.
That really
I'm putting
does.
That on my list right now.
Yeah, I might need to mail that to some people. It's very good. Her first one is called Life in Outer Space, and that's from a guy's perspective, and he is a, like, World of Warcraft nerd, so they're very geeky kind of books. And he, like, meets this girl who's, like, a music enthusiast, and they, like, dress up as stormtroopers at one point, and it's just fantastic. It's all great. So, yeah.
I love it. I love the geeky. How about Brittany and Danielle? What were some of your favorite books this year?
I really loved Wolf in White Van by John Darnell. I sent it to Marima. I never heard what you thought about it, actually.
Oh, I haven't read it yet.
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
It's so good.
I'm sorry. I got it, like, two days before I went overseas, and then it just got stuck in the pile. I'll read that next. That will be the first thing that I read, and I'll report back.
Okay, I really, really, really liked that. I actually read it twice before I sent my advance copy to you. And then I really liked Afterworlds by Scott Westerfeld. I thought it was really cool the way he's writing the book, like, from a young author's perspective as she's going through her first round of edits after her book gets picked up. And it's, like, each chapter fluctuates between her, like, moving to New York and living in, with all these writers, and the next chapter is her actual book that she's editing. So I really liked that. I, like, devoured it in one day and got really sunburnt while reading it. I think those are the two that really stand out, though.
Very cool. Danielle, how about you?
I think one of my favorite books this year, it's still kind of ongoing because it's a comic series, and it's the new Ms. Marvel. It's just called Ms. Marvel, and it's really different from anything that I've read comic book-wise before, because this character has a really deep, like, cultural background, and it's something that hasn't been done before, and she's just, like, a teen girl kind of going through stuff, and it's just really cool. So I really like Ms. Marvel. I actually enjoyed Lena Dunham's book, Not That Kind of Girl. I kind of read it as, I think, more of, like, a fiction type thing, or just not trying to get something out of it, because I feel like if I read it like that, I'd be really frustrated. But I did like her voice in that. So, and then there was the Veronica Mars novel, and just because it was Veronica Mars in novel form that I could take home with me. So I really enjoyed that as well.
Awesome.
Is that the tan one? The Veronica
yes.
Mars?
Yes. Yeah, that was, I believe it's called the $10,000 Tan Line.
Okay. Like, is that? It actually a good book? Because it's been on my shelf for a while. Aside from the Veronica Mars likeness of it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think it was decent. I had a few problems with it, but I feel like it was one of those things where as you're reading it, it's almost like you're watching it. If that makes any sense at all.
It's one of those things, actually. All right.
Because you're so familiar with the characters, and it's Rob Thomas writing it as well. So the way he writes, it just translates immediately.
Cool. And if people are listening, like, all of these books will be in the show notes, so you don't have to, like, scribble and write them down. Don't worry. I have done that for you, so just check out the list.
We're in good shape. All right, so was there any surprising author news that you guys – that came up this year for you guys that you're like, what are they writing? What are they doing now? I don't get it. I know one of the things that I was most surprised by was when what is it called? I'm going to forget the name of it. Rainbow Rowell's book that was optioned. Eleanor and Park. When that was optioned, that she's actually going to be writing the screenplay. I thought that was a really interesting thing. Because that doesn't happen usually. Like, almost never. And currently the only one that I know of that's been super successful in doing that was Gillian Flynn with Gone Girl. So can you guys think of any author news that came up that, like, you thought was really interesting?
Well, first of all, there's a typo in the doc and it says Arthur news. And
I just
thought
fixed
that
it.
I missed something.
No, I just
well,
fixed
no, I
it. I was
that
like,
Arthur was having like some huge news and it's his book hype, so I was really pumped that
I was really excited for this.
I'm so sorry. That's what happens Arthur when I check really quickly. Sorry
but anyway,
that.
My right. author news is Hold Me Closer, the Tiny Cooper story is coming.
It is.
I'm really excited about it. I may put on a one-woman show.
Oh, I get
I
that excited about it.
I think that should be a YouTube extravaganza.
I think so. I think you should make that happen.
Book hype exclusive. Britney's one-woman performance of Hold Me Closer, the Tiny Cooper story.
I think my author news then would be, like, on the same track. That would be what Rainbow Rowell recently announced, that she's writing the fan fiction from within her.
Oh,
the book from the book, which is, like, her dreary fan fiction, which is just, like, still the weirdest thing I've heard for a while. So, yeah, that's the most surprising news, definitely.
Absolutely. Anyone else have anything? I'm trying to think. It's so hard to think back about what happens throughout the year. Because there's so much, so I never remember it. But go ahead, anyone else?
The only other thing I can think of is that the Cormoran Strike series is being made into television, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yes.
But that's the only thing I can think of.
Well, the Percy Jackson series finished this year. That's kind of big news.
Mm-hmm. And Rick Riordan.
I feel like if Karen was here, she would be talking about that, so I needed to mention it.
That's true. It was kind of a big... And he went on this huge tour, and he is, as an author, he is incredibly entertaining to sit and have, like, a chat with. Like, he is funny. I was quite surprised at how funny he is to kind of get up and just talk with everybody. You could tell he was a teacher, because he kind of gets up there and, like, does his thing. It was a good time. I liked it. I guess in other news, really, too, everything John Green has ever written will now be a film.
I like that headline a lot.
See, I think we should roll with that. We can come up with something good to go with it. So I don't know. I think those are kind of interesting stuff. So, listeners, if you can think of any good author, as in people who write books, news that has come out over this last year that you were surprised by or intrigued by, definitely drop us a line and let us know, because it's been a long year, and I have trouble remembering what happened within the year, like when things were announced.
And if you have any Arthur news, let me know, too.
Please send that along.
Really, because that could be a whole other one-woman show for Brittany. we're working an angle here, kids. Oh, boy. All right, so let's talk about some books we're looking forward to in 2015. I kind of had to, like, tame it myself because I had a kind of a long list, but I cut my list down. But we're gonna start with Brittany. Go ahead. What do you have that you're looking forward to in 2015?
Well, I didn't type fast enough to get my last two out, so I'll leave them to Marima to take. But my first one is The Shadow Cabinet by Maureen Johnson, which got bumped from this year to February 2015. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Very nice. And Marim is also very excited by this.
I am very excited. I love this series.
I do too. And I wasn't expecting to because I don't like supernaturally things that much. And when I read the first one, I was like, oh no, there are ghosts. But I loved it so much.
I kind of haven't been a huge fan of Maureen Johnson's, I guess. Oh my god, and I just thought of another book I'm really excited for. Sorry. But yeah, I like her a lot, but like not I've never like loved her.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of like 13 Little Blue Envelopes. Like I never really got into those.
Yeah, so I was like slightly apprehensive, but I read the first one. I was like, oh no, like this is really good. This is, even with ghosts, this is good. So yeah, that will be a good time.
Very nice. Did you have any others, Brittany, or are they the ones that Marima wrote?
Yeah. Would you like to say "Hold Me Closer" again?
I would like to say "Hold Me Closer" by David Levithan, the Tiny Cooper story. Yeah.
And be on the lookout for that one woman show.
March 17th.
Yeah. Soon to follow.
Excellent. All right, Danielle, what about you?
I am the worst when it comes to knowing what books come out, like what years. I always find them late. So the only one that I could really think of, which is worth mentioning, is the next book in the Veronica Mars series. It's called Mr. Kiss and Tell. It was bumped from October of this year to January 20th. So I'm super excited to have that in my hands in less than a month.
Yeah, I'm really hoping Kristen Bell, like, reads it again on audio, and I will purchase it and just listen to her read to me, because that's what I did with the last one, and I swear to you, it makes it that much better. I'm not sure I would have...
I still need to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would have liked the book as much if I just sat and read it myself, but having Kristen Bell, like, read it to me in Veronica Mars's voice kind of thing, like, it was perfect. It was just such a nice, easy read, and you get the whole, like, vibe of everything, because she, you know, puts on her Veronica Mars show. It's awesome. So I'm hoping she reads the second one, too. All right, Miss Marima, what do you have on tap for 2015? Yeah.
Okay, well, in addition to Brittany's, because we seem to be very in sync, Carry On, as I mentioned before, coming out October next year, just because I think it's going to be a disaster, but I'm excited for it. It could be great. Okay, this is the thing. I love Rainbow Rowell. I think her writing is fantastic. I'm really excited to see her do fantasy rather than contemporary. I'm really excited for, like, the queer representation in the book and all of this, but I can't get over the fact that it's Harry and Draco fan fiction that she made up for another book, and now it's like, I can't get over it. So who knows, maybe it'll be really surprising and fantastic, but I think it might be a disaster. And either way, I'm excited for that. Like, both of those aspects excite me. You know, if it's really amazing, that's great. And if it's really terrible, that's also going to be great. So, yeah, that's definitely up there. The one that I thought of before is Lair of Dreams, which is book 2 in the Diviners series by Libba Bray. Just been such a long time since I read the first one that I forgot this book was coming out. But
yeah, did it get delayed?
Yeah, it got pushed back.
I was going to say, I'm like, wait, that's like 2 years out.
Yeah, so... It's this series is like the first book is like 500 pages or something.
Yeah, it's massive.
But it's so good. It's set in like early 20th century New York, so it's very like, it's kind of the jazz era, and it's supernatural but in a good way. All the characters are really interesting. I definitely would recommend. I'm not selling it very well, but it is really good, so please try it. The other book that I am excited for is Every Move, which is the third, I think the final book in the Every series by Ellie Marnie, who I've talked about this before. It's the modern Sherlock Holmes books that are set in Melbourne, in Australia. And I really like these books because it's kind of modern Sherlock Holmes, but not, because it's written in a world where Sherlock Holmes already exists, and like, they understand the irony that they're basically named after these characters. And yeah, I guess it's got a bit of an elementary vibe to it in a way, because the Watson is a girl and Sherlock is this boy called Mycroft, and it's just like really funny.
I know, I'm like, wait, yeah, what is that called again?
Right, Brittany, I'll hook you up. But they're really fun, and they're very, like, self-aware, and I just enjoy that a lot in a book, especially when it's kind of an adaptation or like, twisted fairy tale, whatever. I like when they know that it is, you know, the character's, like, aware of that.
Yeah.
So that next book, I think it's coming out in March, and, yeah, they're really fun, and they're just, like, the most ridiculous things, but they're so fun, so I'm looking forward to that.
I like it. All right, for me, I don't know. I have three that I'm kind of really looking forward to, but I'm sure there are, like, a bunch more that I'm like, oh, I have to have that. The first one is The Ruby Circle by Rochelle Mead, and it's actually coming out way sooner than I thought it was. I thought it was coming out in the summer, but it's coming out in February, and I'm really excited because it's the next book in that series. The last book was, like, okay. It wasn't like, oh my god, I'm in love with it, but this one I have a feeling is going to be a little bit more action-packed. Another one I'm looking forward to is called An Ember in the Ashes by Sabaa Tahir. It comes out in April, and it's basically set in Roman times with, like, the Roman Empire, and one of the girls is a slave girl, and she meets this boy who's in the military who doesn't really want to be in the military, and they're paths kind of cross and their destinies are intertwined and all that really cool stuff. So I'm excited about that one. And then Every Last Breath by Jennifer Armentrout comes out July 28th. And I'm really excited for this book because she did something completely different than any author I think has ever done. She let the fans vote on who the main character would end up with in the love triangle. Which I think is really interesting because it really, I would think, would sway the way you're going to tell a story. So I'll be curious to see how it turns out in the end.
That sounds weird.
I know. It's very experimental in a lot of ways because as an author, I would think you would go in knowing how you want your story to end. But how does your story end when someone else is choosing kind of one of the main elements of it? So super curious to see how that plays out. So yeah, those are kind of three of the books that are definitely on my radar that I am looking forward to.
Speaking of books that are coming out next year, we can announce our January book club book. That's the book that comes out next year.
It does.
We are going to be reviewing All the Bright Places by Jennifer Niven. Please tell us how you pronounce your name. I think it's Niven. I read this book ages ago. Like, regular BookHive listeners might remember, this is a book I got that was covered in post-it notes. The arc I got was covered in post-it notes, and I was, like, trying to decipher from that promotional aspect what it was about before I had read it. Turns out it was not really about post-it notes, but that's what they're going with. And it's about this guy and this girl, and they meet on the
bell tower.
Like, the bell tower at school. And, they're supposedly going to jump, or one might jump or the other might jump. Anyway, I'm not going to ruin it for you, but read it. And we'll be reviewing that towards the end of January, probably, because it comes out on the 6th of January. So to give everyone a chance to read it and, you know, and I know people like worry sometimes about international. I know it's definitely out in Australia at the start of January as well. So I think they're doing a bit of an international push. So like, if you're not in the States, just have a look. You might be able to get your hands on a copy by then.
Yes, indeedy. I think it'll be really interesting. Kind of excited about that one. All right.
Yeah,
so
we haven't done a contemporary for a while.
We haven't. We've done a lot of, like, series stuff. I know the last couple we've done have been parts of series and stuff, so it'll be nice to do, like, a standalone contemp.
Kind of supernaturally. Yeah,
we did a lot. Yeah, we have. So, and as always, you guys, with 2015 coming up, if you have any suggestions of things that you would like us to read and discuss, always send them our way on Twitter or in the show, in the notes and comment section, of the post. We will be happy to look into them because we're always looking for something new and different that people want to discuss. So, I think the last thing for this episode, as it is our look back, look ahead episode for New Year's, are our book resolutions for 2015. Who wants
our book solutions?
Our book solutions. Booklutions.
Yeah. I'll work it out.
You're like, I'll get it. I'll get there.
Why don't you tell us what yours is?
Oh, okay. So mine is to read more books that are outside of, like, my typical area. So I know lots of people have been talking about comic books lately, and I love comic book movies and all of that stuff. I watch, you know, all the Marvel stuff. So I think I should start trying comic books to see, you know, what's out there, to kind of get something different. And then I said nonfiction books, because I do not read nonfiction books. As we discussed about the autobiographies, I don't ever read them, even though sometimes I'm like, oh my god, that would probably be really great. So those are the two things that I'm looking to read more of that are different from what I typically read. Who wants to go next?
Well, I don't really have any, but I guess I'll go and see The Hobbit. That can be a book-related resolution. I don't know. I kind of just read what I want to read anyway. I don't know what I need to. Someone, I'm sure there's like a genre that I'm not reading that I should read more of.
I think we should make you read romance novels. Just one.
I mean, I've read the Bloodline series, so that's pretty close, I would say.
I was like, no, it's not happening.
I think what I'm going to do in 2015, there are a few series that I kind of missed when they came out, and then I never caught up with them, so I haven't read them. So I think what I'm going to do is like catch up on some of those series that everyone's always like talking about, and they're meant to be amazing, but you know, they're up to like book 3 or 4 at this point. So yeah, I'm going to track down these series and catch up on them, because I always do that. I like miss the start. I do it with TV as well. I miss the start and then I just never watch it or I never catch up on it. So yeah, I'll do some book catching up.
I like that one a lot. That's a good one.
All right. I thought so.
On the spot, you're making it up. I like it. All right, Danielle, you want to tell us yours?
Sure. This is going to sound weird, but my first one is to read more books that I think I'll enjoy. I have, in addition to my Harry Potter book club, I have another book club through work, and it forces me to read books I wouldn't normally pick up, but most of the time I don't like them. And then I just kind of like wallow around for a while before I pick up something else that I want to read. So I want to push myself to read more books that I like rather than more books that I don't. And I also want to read more female-centric comics, because I have found that I enjoy comics a lot more when they're about the ladies. I've tried a lot of like comics about the guys. Like I tried the Hawkeye one. I tried recently like a Deadpool one. And I find that the ladies are much more interesting to me. So I want to read more of those.
Very cool. I hate when you have book clubs like that where you're like, you're, the book that's chosen is like something you would never read and then you really just can't read it. That makes book club really tough.
I like it. Yeah. I have a book club like that, but like you rotate. So don't you get to choose it sometimes?
Yeah, we have it so one person brings 3 options to the table per month and it is on a rotating basis. But a lot of people have the same kind of tastes, which is fine.
So it really needs me outside of what you're saying.
Yeah, it pushes me outside of what I would normally read. But like we just read this book called Loving Frank, and I just hated it, and it was painful to get through. But it like, I don't want to say wasted, because reading is never like wasting time, but it took away from like another book that I could have been reading. It just sucked all my energy, so...
Yeah, that makes it not fun at all. But okay, good luck with that.
Thanks. I'll be in it.
Brittany, what's yours?
I want to read more classics. Like, you know, like print out one of those like 100 books you probably should have read by now lists and like actually go through and read them.
Yeah.
So, like, I haven't read like To the Lighthouse by Virginia Woolf, and I haven't read The Metamorphosis, and there's just a bunch, and like I keep picking them up too. Like I buy them, they're all sitting in my house. I just haven't read them. So I was gonna clean out the bookshelves in 2015 and make a pile of all those. And then I want to read more plays. I love reading plays, which is another reason why I'm probably really excited for Hold Me Closer, the Tiny Cooper story, coming out March 2015.
I like the way that you say the whole title every time. That's my favorite thing about this like ongoing joke.
Well, I don't want people to forget, so
yeah, that is Hold Me Closer, the Tiny Cooper story.
Oh my goodness.
So like in college I took this like weird like comparative lit course, and I wrote my final paper for it on like the plays of Henrik Ibsen, and he was like a late 1800s playwright, like a Norwegian playwright. And I devoured all of his plays. I thought that they were so great. And I love like finding like staging similarities and like stuff like that. So I had a long conversation about him the other day with someone I went to college with, and it made me want to read more plays again.
Very cool. I don't ever think about reading plays, but I like it. I like it a lot. All right, so listeners, if you have book resolutions for 2015, make sure you leave them in the comments or tweet them to us, and we will read some of your book resolutions off on our next episode. Because I'm always curious to see what people want to do in the new year, especially around the stuff that we love, like books. So, does anybody have anything else for this episode?
Nope.
If not, I can plug David Levitt then again.
One more time with feeling, I mean, Brittany.
It only took me in case you didn't figure out exactly what you were talking about.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm completely serious.
Oh, I love it. All right. Well.
Oh, wait. I have a plug.
Okay, go ahead.
We had a question on Twitter.
Oh, I know what you're going to plug.
Yeah, from someone who said that they want to read more like graphic novels and comics, and so they would like a show about that. And guess what? We have a whole podcast where you can hear about that stuff. It's called Hero Hype. Go and listen to it. Okay, the end. We'll answer your questions about stuff.
Oh,
I may or may not be on that show.
Yeah.
I am on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Yep.
Spoiler.
Is Dunya on it with you?
Yeah, and Karen was on the last time, so two-thirds book hype.
Oh,
so
look
you'll
at
feel
that.
Nice and comfortable if you use that as a jumping in point.
And Danya's, like, ridiculously knowledgeable about comic books. When we went to New York City Comic Con, I was a little afraid of her. She's, like, crazy. And she's, like, itty-bitty. She's, like, this little bitty thing. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, all about comics. And, oh, my God, it's amazing. So it would be fun to hear her
so
talk.
It's so much fun. I was with her at Indie Pop Con, and she was just all over it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. All right, so until next time, which will be 2015 already. I don't know where the time goes. I'm Jen.
I'm Marima.
I'm Danielle.
And I'm Brittany.
Bye, guys.
Bye.